off the floor, and they've got a fantastic-looking Charger here that's got your name all over it, babe. And if you're a Razorback fan,
it's a good-looking car.
This is much more Razorback red. It looks more Georgia, what we typically think of like Georgia red, but that's becoming – isn't the Razorback –
it's sharp.
Is the Razorback red becoming – no, it's actually becoming less red and more maroonish.
True.
So actually
Very
that's
true.
More Georgia red, but I like that. If you're a St. Louis Cardinal fan, it's a perfect day car to pick up on the first day of Major League Baseball season.
Listen, this car right here catches anybody's eye in a good way.
Two eyes, three eyes, a whole potato worth. Anyway, lots of basketball to talk about over the weekend in addition to the deals that are going on here at Landers, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Bent. See, he's got his eyes on it. He knows what's up. Yeah, you know. So, Matty T, how are you? How was your weekend?
It was a blast. Thank you for asking.
I do want to give Matty T a pat on the back, Mr. Bradley, because Matty T, like many others in our buzz bracket, is well ahead of me. Thank you. Well ahead of me in the buzz standings of our bracket. I failed miserably this weekend. What a great weekend of college basketball.
Good luck. I mean, good night.
So good.
How do you have UConn and Kentucky in the Final Four?
How do you have UConn, Kentucky, even Wisconsin seems like a long shot. Wisconsin did not do its typical Wisconsin flop. They followed the Maryland path. Maryland for many years was a high seed and fell flat on its face in the tournament. Then they broke through and won one. Could Wisconsin be on the same path? I actually really like Wisconsin against Kentucky. It's that fundamentally sound basketball against just a wealth of talent.
Yeah, they are a real good team. How about Bo Ryan? Is that a great story? How about this guy is 66 years old, going to his first Final Four, and he's got a team that typically in the past you watch Wisconsin teams can't score. It's painful to watch almost. This team is the complete opposite.
Yeah.
It's everybody on the floor can score for them. They're a fun team to watch. Boy, I love them. They're a great passing team.
You've been talking about passing teams. They're one of those ones you mentioned. Unfortunately,
I hate that Arizona and
your other
Wisconsin
passing team. Yeah.
I hate that Arizona and Wisconsin had to play. It was a great game, though. Great game. Two great passing teams, great defensive teams.
That's just great basketball. Those That was a clinic, man. Those two teams, that was really fun to watch.
It really was. It was a great weekend.
I do want to give a shout-out to my man, the Pigskin Preacher. What a devastating loss yesterday.
God. 2-1.
His team steals a victory over an SEC team, and then they lose to an SEC team. That, again, a game they probably could have and should have won. You know what I took away from the weekend, though? Nick Stauskas is the best basketball player in the country.
He's pretty darn good.
That kid is so good.
He is good. He's a heady player. His ability to shoot, as you could see, being 6'6", which he is, allows him to get in the lane.
Yeah.
It allows him, his ability to shoot allows him to get that just a little bit step that he needs to get past his defender. And he uses his body so good.
How much of a difference would it have made for you if you were 3 or 4 inches taller?
Man, it's night and day because you can get your shot off. I mean, you can get in the lane and you can get that shot off. And I think especially the thing is, Justin, check this out. He's playing against 6'5 kids too. The Harrisons, they're 6'5". I mean, there was some big-time players in that game the other night against Kentucky, Michigan. And this may be go down. I don't know how Kentucky is going to play on Saturday because, as Kenny Smith was saying the whole weekend, at some point they're going to go back to being freshmen. I don't know about that. But this could go down as one of the best runs a team has ever had.
Or if UConn wins, it would be one of the best runs the team's ever had on their side.
Gosh, that'd be incredible.
I think Florida's going to smash them. I hope I'm right, but we'll see. All right, so here we go. Let's run through some highlights from over the last couple of days. And if you have any questions, comments, or snide remarks, 433-1037 or 1-800-477-1037. We appreciate all of your contributions. Man, I'm going to do my best to try to stay in order here to make it easy on you. Let's start with that UConn-Michigan State game. And of all the games this weekend, the Elite Eight games, was this the most surprising outcome to you?
Yeah, it really was. I didn't respect UConn. I don't think much people did.
I didn't. Well, after watching them beat Iowa State, I didn't have much use for them. But I certainly, I give my boys credit for getting back in the game late. If they have George Niang, I think
boy.
It's probably a different game. But nevertheless, UConn advances. And look, when you shoot as well as they did in front of what was basically a de facto home crowd for them, you know, good things are going to happen anyway. Here's a highlight of Shabazz Napier hitting a three, which he did all weekend long.
Shot clock down to five. Napier a three. Oh! Shabazz Napier drills it! A bomb!
I will say this. I do like Kevin Ollie. What a likable dude. He talking about going back, and then Michigan State's Tom Izzo talking about the outcome of this particular matchup.
We're going back! to Texas, and we want to win a national championship. And that's what it's all about. These guys, I love them, and they play so hard. And my UConn fans has been here. It's great to win in Madison Square Garden. The tournament haven't been here for 50 years, and for us to win here is just something special.
We got what we deserved all year long. This team battled and did everything they could do. And unfortunately, we did not bring our A game today, and we got what we deserved today. You got to bring it every second. And Connecticut did, and we just weren't as good as we've been. But we've had a hell of a year, and I'm going to congratulate them and also congratulate us on an incredible year under the circumstances.
I don't want to be a crybaby about this because it does have a personal twist for me. But I do have to point, and I don't know if there's any way around it.
What's that?
It is in some way, I mean, completely unfair for a team that is the lower seed to have a home court advantage because of proximity, both in their Sweet 16 game and their Elite Eight game.
Justin, it's not only proximity. UConn has played at Madison Square Garden in the Big East tournament for a long time.
Yeah.
Those players have had great games there. And they've been there a lot. And that goes to your coach trying to plan games in advance. I'll give an example. Calipari, earlier this year, had his team play a neutral site game, non-conference, at the Cowboys Stadium. And where's the Final Four this year? Cowboys Stadium.
Right.
So these are things that coaches looking forward try to do. They try to schedule games. I don't know how you can predict Madison Square Garden being there for regionals.
But my point is it would be akin to UALR making the NCAA tournament as like a 10 or 12 seed and playing in Memphis. You think they're not going to have a bunch of people drive over and root for them?
Oh, there's no question.
I mean, that's what the similarity is. I mean, it's a couple hours away, basically. It's 135 miles.
Well, and you have some of those things, too, because Lexington has been the Yum Center, Louisville. That's been a location.
Yeah, they played there last year, right? Or no, it was – Louisville played at Kentucky last year, right? Wasn't it?
I believe so.
Wasn't that the deal?
Yeah, it's a regional location. How about that, though?
I mean, Kentucky got booted out of their own gym for an NIT game. They had to go on the road to play it.
That's
Robert Morris and lost.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Well, there's no way to fix it. I mean, you still have a shot to win the game, but it seemed a little odd to me.
The beginning of that game looked to me like Michigan State was playing a team on their home court.
Yeah.
I mean, UConn came out and was just looked like the more established team.
But Michigan State did get ahead, and that Payne kid, that kid's a freakish matchup too.
Boy, he's tough. What a story he is. Fourth-year guy, a guy who at the beginning, he came in and he was averaging like 4 points, two rebounds. And to see his progression over his career, probably shot too many threes last night. But he can score. He's that guy, the inside-out guy that you want.
We'll talk about the other games coming up here. Dale has a comment about Napier. Go ahead, Dale.
Hey, Pat, the classic shooting style of remembering you as you jump straight up, he looks like a C when he shoots the ball.
A what?
A C because his hands are forward and his feet are forward.
He kicks his feet forward when he shoots jump shots. C, like his hands are forward and his feet are forward.
Oh, okay.
His body's contorted.
It's kind of weird. So I wanted to kind of get your comments on, is that something you teach or is that just natural ability? Because he was knocking them down.
So you know what I know, Dale? I know he can make them like that.
Well, you know, it's funny you bring that point up because one of the biggest calls of the tournament was when he got fouled on that three-pointer.
Mm-hmm.
And
I thought that was pretty cheap.
Although
the shot came up so short, it was hard not to call
it. Yeah, exactly. It came up so short.
But he barely touched him. It was pretty weak anyway.
How do you foul? Yeah. How do you even come close, though, to touch on a guy's elbow in that situation? You know what I'm saying?
It's not a good foul.
Not a good foul at all.
He could have kicked him in the knees while he was coming to foul him. So.
He could.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right.
Appreciate the call. Yeah, that was not a smart move. But, you know, again, you see, and I think it's becoming more and more obvious, although Florida's been fairly comfortable throughout, but the margin of victory and defeat is so narrow now. There are so many good teams, and that's what makes this time of year great, but I think even more so than ever before, even the top seeds are not safe anymore. I mean, you got Wisconsin's a two seed?
Yep.
And you got a one seed in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got
UConn's a seven and Kentucky's an eight.
I mean, come on. This is awesome.
The level of play that we've seen Florida play at times, just incredible. Yeah. They've been challenged. Wisconsin, Arizona, those two teams that were playing at their peak. That was an incredible game, and Kentucky has been challenged. They've taken everybody's best shot. Wichita State, that was about as good of a game as they've played all year. And Michigan, that was a heck of a game. I mean, your boy Stauskas has 24. You have guys knocking down shots. Their big guys are playing well. Kentucky has taken everybody's shot. Now, Michigan State, I heard Izzo say that he didn't think they played well. So, other than that,
Pat, they made a lot of unforced errors. I mean, there were guys dribbling off their legs like Ollie. I mean, it was ridiculous.
It was. And there was
not Kevin Ollie, but Ollie, the kid from Hoosiers.
Yeah.
There was a lot of unforced errors by Michigan State. That was not typical basketball for them.
Yeah.
And Wisconsin ain't going to beat themselves, so they're going to make Kentucky earn it. The thing is that I didn't see early, and Harry King and I were talking about this morning. He's turned those shooters loose. He's clearly got a couple of guys that are efficient enough at three-point shooting, including Harrison, who hit that big three late. That's the thing, man. If he would have turned those guys loose earlier in the season, because he basically shut them down, so we're going to the rack every single time. We're getting a shot close in every time. And they can win like that, too, but they're so much more dangerous when they've got the inside.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's an interesting point when you look at that. I wonder if Calipari was more encouraging of them.
Well, and Arkansas knew that. That was their mentality. He said it publicly. Look, we're not taking jump shots. We're going to the basket. And Arkansas packed the paint, and that's how they won that game. Remember that? They just packed it in, and they would stop them at the rim. So,
and it was Harrison. Remember Harrison hit that shot?
7 of 11. They didn't shoot a bunch of 11s, not a ton of 3s, but they were 7 of 11.
And it was Harrison who hit that 3 at the end of the game to put that game into overtime in Fayetteville.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. I wonder how that – boy, that's interesting how that locker room probably has gone this entire season.
Kentucky and Michigan, a great game, narrow loss for Michigan, a great win for Kentucky, and certainly a pat on the back for the SEC, although I have to say I was rooting for Michigan yesterday. I'll be rooting for Wisconsin on Saturday. I can't root for Kentucky.
Do you hate Kentucky?
I don't hate him. I just can't root for him. I don't think it helps.
Because of Calipari?
I don't know why I don't like him. Probably because they're good. Same reason I don't like Kansas. It's out of respect. They're hate-worthy, at least. I'll give them that. Kentucky, Michigan, here's a highlight. Aaron Harrison's big three late. If you missed it, it sounded like this on Westwood One.
Harrison backs out with four, with three, a three on the left wing. It's good! Aaron Harrison's three with 2.3 seconds to play gives Kentucky the 75-72 lead. Timeout, Michigan. But Kentucky and the Young Cats are 2.3 seconds away from the Final Four.
Here's John Beilein. Normally to the victor go the sound bites. We're going to start with John Beilein, though, because I've got a few from Calipari I want to play back-to-back here. Go ahead, John.
It was a great college basketball game. I think well-officiated. Both teams really played well. I think even the people that were sitting in the highest seats got their money's worth today.
Boy, nice, likable dude. Him and Kevin Ollie, two of the most likable guys in the world. And one of them moves on, one of them goes home.
Now think of how his post-game press conference went. Does he sound like an idiot now or what?
I don't want to comment about him.
I mean, come on, man.
He's an idiot. I know. That's just.
And then you hear these other guys, though, and when your kid grows up and is ready to play big-time college basketball, would you send him to Boeheim?
I would. He'll be dead, though, probably by then. All right, Kentucky, Michigan. We talked about the highlights. Kentucky advances. Here's John Calipari gloating after the victory.
Well, again, I just coached a game, and these guys just played. We don't know if it was another classic kind of game, but I'll tell you this. They weren't going to go away, and neither were we. And whoever had the ball last, I'm just going to win it. I can just tell you the last play we set up is Aaron just step back and shoot a deep three. They won't guard you. When they all just settled in and lost themselves in a team, the game became easier. They became better. They had more fun. They became more confident, and all of a sudden, this is what you have. But it took us 4 months. I started reading what everybody was writing, and I'm thinking, this is going to be easy. This was very difficult for all of us. And it was difficult because my choice coaching them was to allow them the body language, the effort less than it needed to be, the focus less than it needed to be. And so now I became a little mean because we had to get it changed. And the other thing is I kept telling them, you know, you got to fail fast, which means go play and don't be afraid to make mistakes so we can see what we have to do. At the end of the day, like I try to do with all my teams, you could see this team is empowered right now. It's their team. It's not my team. And I'm just there to maybe call a timeout, to settle them down, to pick them up, to sit guys out when they're not doing what they need to do for their team. That's my job right now. And so their job is to go play and have a ball playing. And that's what they're doing right now.
It was a deep three. I thought it was pretty well defended, though. Outside of fouling the guy, I don't know how much more you could have done. Like you said, when you got that size, you can shoot over people. And they didn't have huge guards defending there. But anyway, he did a good shot. It was deep. It wasn't like he had a great look at it, I didn't think.
You know what's interesting about those comments? He said, fail fast. And I think what's really interesting about that is they're a one. They've five freshmen. Okay, five freshmen, and they have two guys coming off the bench who are probably going to go in the NBA draft, possibly, maybe Poitras and Willie Cauley-Stein, and maybe those five guys. I don't know about the big center, Dakari Johnson. He's blossomed here in the last few games. But fail fast, to me, that means you got 1 year to have the ups and downs of what a normal college athlete would go through. Mm-hmm. Normally, a college athlete goes through, your freshman year, you're getting your feet wet. Your sophomore year, you know, they call it sophomoric because you do a lot of moronic things. And, you know, your sophomore year. Then junior year, you're getting things, you know, so you have time in a four-year career to fail.
It's like Jerry Seinfeld said about the relationship, going out of town with a girl early in a relationship. It's like putting the relationship in a time machine.
Yeah, exactly.
Where you'd be 6 months from now, you accomplish 3 days.
And that's it. It's like, and he had to take these guys through the ups and downs of 4 years in one season. And that's,
you know, what he's going to do next year?
Fail fast.
Same thing.
Yeah, and that's it. It's like fail fast. So these guys have had to learn how to deal with failure, come back from failure. And the other thing that's interesting, he said, and every coach will talk about this, it's their team. And coaches are going to try to find any way they can to make sure that the team is the one who's leading this thing, because the coach can – he can talk about it. Like I said, he can call timeouts. He can do whatever. But at the end of the day, it's going to be the guys on the floor that are going to be making this run.
There's that continual look of desperation and frustration on his face and disgust. I mean, he never looks happy. I did see him after Lee had dunked his fourth ball back in. He did kind of pull him aside and sort of had a wry smile after that. That was about the only time I ever saw the guy happy during a game, though. It kills me.
Let me tell you something. For those people who don't think this guy can coach, he can coach his butt off. He can. There's no question about it.
They got shooters, Pat, too. And the thing is, on going back to UConn here, UConn's at 40%. I'm thinking, when are those freshmen from Kentucky start? When will they start playing like we saw them play most of the year? Because they're going to have a moment. And again, if you got a team that's going to frustrate young, talented kids, Wisconsin's your guy. Okay.
Oh, there's no question.
And then, you know, Napier goes crazy. Daniels. I mean, these guys are 40% three-point shooters. But at some point, they're not going to have a great night. And I think it's going to happen Saturday. They're going to end up getting beat by like 25.
It could happen. And it really could happen in that way. Like you said, frustrate. Wisconsin, the team that can frustrate those young guys, because they're going to work their offense. They're going to make every extra pass, right? They're not going to make many defensive mistakes. Sure.
Right.
Yeah, you might have Marcus Lee or DeCarge or Julius Randle jump up and dunk over them multiple times. But they're gonna challenge you every step of the way, Wisconsin. That's why I love Wisconsin, man. I'm so happy for
them. I usually do, and I picked against them this year because they always screw me in my bracket. I've always gone to the Final Four or the Elite Eight, and they always end up losing like in the second game. This team is athletic, and we've been talking about it for the last 2 weeks. This team is unlike most Wisconsin teams, though. They are athletic, and they always play fundamentally sound. They're always grind you on defense, but these guys are really good.
You know, Justin, they have that one thing that makes them a team that can win the national championship, and that's Kaminsky. This kid, he can get you things without outside of the framework of the offense, and that's huge.
Let's take a call from Rayshon here. Rayshon, welcome to the zone. How are you?
How you doing?
Good. What's up?
Hey, is Willie, is he out for the next game, or is he coming back for Kentucky?
They said it wasn't a good injury, so I took that to mean he ain't going to be playing in the tournament the rest of the way.
That's what I was kind of thinking. And I got a couple more questions I hang up in it. Listen, I was wondering what Pat thought about the hire that the U of A made with the women's coach. And also, could each one of y'all rank the teams 1 through 4 in the order you think they are?
The four left?
Rank them now.
Yeah.
We'll get into Jimmy Dykes.
Well, we both agree with Florida, number one.
Yeah.
I got Florida 1.
How can you not go Wisconsin?
I got Wisconsin 2. I got Kentucky 3 and UConn 4. Yeah. I got no respect for UConn. I don't know why. I mean, if they don't knock down I can't say the word I normally would say, but a pile of shots. If they don't knock down a pile of shots against both these teams, they ain't winning. And
those two guards are tough.
They really are good, but
Napier,
the thing is,
Boatwright,
and they're awkward. I don't know. I ain't buying it. I'm sorry. I know that's way it's totally unfair to discount.
How about the guard matchup, Florida and UConn, though? Wilbekin's going to have his hands full.
They will smother those dudes, though, man.
He's going to have his hands full with those guys.
UConn was 21
at 22.
Yeah, everybody played Saturday. Both games are Saturday. 21 to 22 from the line, UConn was Saturday. From a three-point standpoint, what did they end up shooting yesterday? They were 5 of 22, so you know what? I take it back. They didn't shoot that well yesterday. They did not shoot the ball that well and still were able to beat a very good Michigan State team. I think Florida's going to give them all they want. But we'll see. You know what? Now I'm kind of thinking, rethinking this whole deal. Maybe I should ride UConn. Because if they can overcome a shooting day like that and beat Michigan State, surely they can get within the Vegas number.
The one thing, though, that Michigan State did, you talked about how sloppy they were with the ball. Florida is not sloppy with the ball. Florida's going to take care of the ball. Florida is going to get the most out of each possession. Where Michigan State, especially early on, boy, they just looked like they were – they looked like they weren't there. I mean, they were. There was one time, I don't know if you saw this, the guy, he had tried to inbound the ball to the point guard. I don't know if it was Trice or who it was, Appling maybe. It went slip right through his hands. Turnover, a simple inbounds play.
Yeah.
It was just like they mentally were checked out.
They played poorly. They really did. Florida's a 6.5-point favorite over UConn, and we need to look at that initial game. UConn is one of the two teams that beat Florida this year.
Yeah, that's right.
We need to see how many guys are there, because remember when Arkansas played Florida early, they were very beat up. My guess is they were not at full strength when they played UConn. So we'll have to look at that. Plus, it was played in stores, which we saw them play stores south, and they were pretty good there too. Kentucky, a 2-point favorite over Wisconsin on the early line. So we'll take a look at all that coming up.
Oh, and Jimmy Dykes.
Yeah, we'll talk about that coming back from the break, too. We've got some sound from
your buddy,
Coach Dykes, coming up in just a bit. It is 10:28. We are Landers, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram. Beautiful vehicles abound all over this lot. More for your trade, better price than anybody else will offer you, and great service after the sale. Kevin Wilson just came in and jarred a rib loose. Gave me a little swat on the midsection.
God
gracious.
Bless him.
Hurt. Anyway, very sensitive. It's 10:28. Back in a moment.
This is Sports.